glad I get to be here, amen. What a privilege. We study the Word of God. We get to break forth the bread of life. What a blessing that is. And there's people in parts of the world that don't have a Bible, and yet we have one. We can hold one in our lap, and we can have that blessed book. It's an amazing thing that we get to have it, and I thank God for the liberties we have. If I can just remind us all to continue to pray for our nation, pray that our liberties are preserved. More and more people are departing from understanding what true liberty is, and they feel that we're in dangerous ground when we feel that government grants us our rights. If you read through the founding documents, you'll see that our founding fathers understood that there were certain inalienable rights given to us by our Creator. That inalienable means it's not bestowed on us by any man. It means the one that created us, God, gave these rights to man. They're inherent in every single person. It doesn't matter either if you're an American citizen or not. It's every person has been granted these rights. Now, just because that's what God did doesn't mean that that is recognized the world over. It doesn't even mean that that's recognized in our nation, because it's not. We're losing that understanding. And most people, look, I zero apologies for this. Get your children out. If you don't have kids, I don't know that anyone's in there right now, but don't ever put your children in government indoctrination centers. Okay, what do I mean by that? Public schooling. Do not do that, because they're going to indoctrinate them into the system and they're not going to have a proper understanding. They're going to teach just pretty much blind submission to whatever government says. And look, we ought to submit to government, but not blindly. Okay? Not blindly. God doesn't even expect us to submit to Him blindly. Okay? And He has the right to do that, but He doesn't expect us to do that. He says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He says, come reason with what I... Here, I'll show you. Let's reason this out. Like, look, here it is. You decide for yourself, and that's not what's being allowed. And look, if I could just say this, that more liberties are given away throughout history, more liberties are given away in the name of safety. Okay, look, if we are going to have freedom, true liberty, true freedom, there will always, always be an element of danger. Always. It will always exist. By the way, even if we give all this stuff over to government in the name of safety, they can't guarantee our safety. When they've done studies on, you know, they want to take away people's right to bear arms, and they've done studies on the average time it takes a police officer from the time you call them to get to the emergency. I want to say it's 10 minutes. I think it's more, but I'm going to be conservative and say it's 10 minutes. I think it's closer to 12 to 14 minutes, but I'm going to be conservative and say it's 10 minutes. This is a nationwide average, okay? That's not the police officer's fault, but all they can do is respond to crime. You know, today after 9/11, everyone was like, hey, first responders are amazing, they're heroes and all this stuff. Great, but really you are your own first responder. I think we've all probably heard a statement like that, but you are your own first responder. You're the one that has to protect yourself, your family, whatever it may be, and government cannot do it. So we need to be careful about giving away our liberties in the name of safety, because government can't provide that safety for us. If you go to the UK, the United Kingdom, what we call England, Britain, okay, if you go over there, they've banned guns, all right? But something happened is after they banned guns is knife attacks went up. So now what they're doing right now is they're on a campaign to ban knives. And then they're going to have to ban bats. I mean, it's going to get to the point you can't have a steak knife. I mean, I'm telling you, this is how stupid this stuff gets. Because there is always going to be an element of danger if you have true liberty. There will always be that. But this is why it's so important that we understand the purpose of government. And Romans 13 teaches us about that. Government is a terror to the evil, not to the good. Okay? And Romans 13 says, he beareth not the sword in vain. What's it talking about? The death penalty. Look, if someone takes a life and we execute capital punishment on them, which would be, you know, taking their life, then you guarantee that person's never going to commit that crime again. Never. And that protects all of society. It's also a deterrent. Doesn't mean it'll ever go away, because it won't. But it'll be a lot less than it is, I can promise you that. If, you know, there's some public executions, a lot of people are going to think twice. Maybe I don't want to do that. But when there's no consequence, they're like, oh, you know, they're out the next day. if not the day of, in many cases. So we just have to understand there's always going to be an element of danger if we have true liberty. I am perfectly okay with that. I am perfectly okay with that because I want liberty. All right, and this doesn't just extend to gun rights. It's even free thought. Okay, this is why we have the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press. This is free thought. When they control that, when they start saying something is hate speech, they're telling you you can't think that way. They're telling you what you can and can't think. Okay, hate crimes. That's a thought crime is what they're punishing there. No, just punish the actual physical crime that was committed. That's what we have to do. And I've taught this stuff before, and I bring it up again because it's constantly before us, and people are not understanding it. So we have to be the ones, when these conversations come up, start educating people. It might just be you get one sentence in, but start educating them. Just tell them, that's not true liberty. Because I've talked to conservative people that, you know, they're all for the Second Amendment, but then they mention things that are not in line with liberty. I mean, I see all these Christians. I've got, you know, most of my friends on Facebook are Christians, and I see them put stuff like, we need to outlaw mosques and Islam. And I'm just like, you don't understand liberty. You're no different than the Catholic Church. You're no different than the Protestants persecuting Baptists. There's no difference. And people are like, well, Islam's bad. Yes, it's bad. It's of the devil, but so is the Catholic Church. I mean, they're both of the devil. They're both bad. They're both false doctrine. I mean, but you don't get to dictate what somebody thinks. And this is why it is so important that we understand the two tables of the law. I mean, I really hope we're grasping this. I think everyone here does, but I really want us to get it. The two tables of the law. Okay, one is Godward, one is manward. Okay, one deals with conscience. All right, the other deals with our dealings with man. Okay, the one with conscience is towards God. The first, you know, five deal with our relationship with God and within our family, raising our children as well. But that's conscience. No one else gets to tell me what to think. Okay, they don't get to tell me that. And contrary to popular belief, our children do not belong to government. And man, I'm trying not to go off on a rabbit trail here, but I kind of am on this whole thing. I shouldn't have even started talking about liberty because this always gets me going. But our governor was just praising how, you know, they got the funding for, you know, preschool and how great and amazing it is. And she made this statement. I didn't hear it. Brother Brad's the one that told me it. But something along these lines that we now have them cradle to a career. Yep. And really what that's socialism, by the way, if we understand that, that's communism. Okay, what they want is they want you, they want to own you and be able to dictate your thinking and teach you. That's called indoctrination. Okay, they want that. They want the ability to do that. From cradle to grave is what they want. She just said cradle to career, but they want cradle to grave. From birth all the way to death, they want to own you. And that's what that is. And we can't that is not in line with liberty at all. And we can't allow that. Because once we do, then you no longer have the liberties that you cherish right now, that we cherish right now. But this line of thinking is being indoctrinated into our children, and not just our children, but we can say at this point now, many of them, even of my generation, have grown up and been indoctrinated with this and think these things. And this is how their thinking is. And they think that it's okay. Because what they do, and the Bible warns about this, comparing ourselves with ourselves, we become unwise. And I understand it's talking about churches, church members, but the principle still applies, okay? That when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we become unwise. And so what most people are doing today is, here's the paradigm that they're in. They're in the right-left paradigm, okay? And it's like they're trapped, and that's the only way you can think is the right and the left, or the Republican and the Democrat. Okay, this is how most people think, most Christians that I know, this is how they think. Okay, and so what they do is they look at the Democrats and they say, man, they're like complete socialists. They want all this stuff. This is crazy. You know, they want to tax you, you know, 50% of your money, and it'll never stop there. It'll just keep going up until you're on bread and crumbs. You know, that's really how it ends up. Just do your history, okay? Look at history. That's how it ends up, all right? Because in Venezuela, you know, they're fighting for food, for crumbs to stay alive, or they were at least a year or so ago. But anyways, you look at that stuff, that's what they end up wanting. But the Republicans or the conservatives will look at the Democrats and the socialists today and say, man, these guys are crazy. Look at what they want. And so they compare themselves with that. And then they say, we're not like that. We just want Medicare for all. You know, we just want Education for our children. We need to put more funding into to public education, and you know, we should make healthcare more affordable, and we should have, you know, college should be more affordable. And what they mean by that when they say these things, and you're like, yay, that sounds so great, college is affordable for everyone, what that means is we're going to raise your taxes so we can pay for it. That's what they mean by that. And that in and of itself is socialism. But because they're comparing themselves with themselves, they say, we're not that bad, so we're the conservatives. But they're still socialists. They still want the same policies. They're just not getting there as fast. But they're still going that same direction. So what we need to do is compare ourselves with liberty and say, no. As soon as Obamacare passed, that whole thing was unconstitutional. Because you're forcing someone to have to buy something. You're saying you have to buy this. Now, I always put it on the flip. I'm like, what if a conservative Congress and legislature and president passed a bill just like Obamacare with the same wording, requiring every adult over 21 years of age to own an AR-15 and two magazines? What if we passed a law like that and required that, and if you didn't have it, you'd be penalized every year thousands of dollars for each person not having that? What do you think the left would do? That's exactly right. They'd throw an absolute fit, and they'd rebel against it, and they say, no way are we ever doing that. You can't force us to buy something. That's not liberty. That's tyranny. Who do you think you are to make us buy those death machines that shoot out, you know, 600 rounds every 5 seconds, and with explosive incendiaries and grenade launchers on the tips of the bullets and all this stuff, because they don't know what they're talking about. But that's the type of stuff they would be saying. And they would absolutely refuse it. But it's okay for them to tell us we have to buy health insurance. They're forcing us to buy a good. And I was promised that, hey, if you have insurance, you can keep your insurance and it won't go up. And as soon, before Obamacare even happened, everything was shooting up. Before Obamacare was even enacted, my health care was going up. Up, up, up. And it's just gone up higher and higher and higher. So that thing on its face is unconstitutional because they're requiring you to have to purchase something. And the other side can see it one way, but they want their agenda. So we have to look and say, we don't want people like that. We have to start educating people. We have to educate our children. We have to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what we have to be willing to do. And if you do that, you're going to be different from this world. You're going to even be different from many Christians. Okay? You're going to stand out from them if you believe in true liberty. Because I got preacher friends that'll get mad at me for saying, you know, if a Muslim wants to be a Muslim, they can be. And no, I don't think we should outlaw their religion. Now, when they, you know, want to kill someone and they blow someone up, then yes, we punish crime. We don't punish thought. Like these guys that'll stand up and say, Baptists have been persecuted forever, and it's not right that we were persecuted, but they'll want to do the same thing to Muslims. Like, you're punishing thought. They haven't done anything wrong. And that is dangerous ground when we want to punish people's thinking. Because who gets to decide what's good thinking and what's not? I mean, what if it's us as Baptists that get to decide what's good thinking and what's not? By the way, the Baptists were offered that to set up the state religion. I think it was in Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. But they were offered to set up the state religion as Baptist, and they refused it. Why? Because they believed in their principles. They said, no, soul liberty. Each person has to answer for God. Look, if you can answer to God for me or I can answer to God for you, then great, you make the decisions for me. But that no one gets that. We all have to answer for ourselves. I can't answer for my children. They have to answer for themselves. They have to stand before God and answer for the decisions that they make. And that's how every individual person is. Therefore, no government gets to dictate what I do and what I don't do, because I'm the one that'll have to answer to him. Now, if I violate the second table of the law, there should be a consequence. All right, and God set forth those consequences. This is why he said that, you know, government is not a terror to the good works, but to the evil, and he bears not the sword in vain. So if some Islamist wants to go and shoot up some church or something or blow up some people, then government's job is to take that man's life, not keep him on death row for 30 years. Swift. That's in the Bill of Rights too, by the way, a swift trial, speedy trial. That's how it words it. That's in there. We've gotten away from all this stuff. We have to start thinking this way again. We have to think liberty-minded. And just my personal opinion, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see our nation doing that. I really don't. I see us having to go through the cycle of nations. We're not going to be any different than any other nation. But we have, you know, we went through the period of tyranny and struggle and went through that. And now we're past, I believe, the period of blessing. There's still blessing. We're on the tail end of it. And now we're going back into bondage. It's happening now. That's the cycle of nations. And just look it up online, the cycle of nations. I think there's like five steps in it, four steps, something like that. You can look it up. But we're on the tail end of that, and we're going to go back into bondage, and then servitude is what it'll eventually be. And then you have to fight your way back out. And that's what happens. That's the cycle that nations go through. You know, the tyranny comes back in. And that's, I believe, we're on the tail end of that. Now, could we stop it and go back to the liberty that we had? Yes, I believe that's still possible. We could do that. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't think it's going to happen. And this is why, you know, I talked about, you know, Satan being the ruler of this world, the god of this world, and the prince of the power of the air, and he's behind all this. And this is why it's bigger than we think when I say that our nation is being effeminized. Okay, when we're an effeminate nation, when everybody gets offended over every little thing and nobody can take any type of criticism for anything, we have an effeminized nation. Okay? And because of that, because we've been effeminized, that's just a symptom of the effeminization. Okay? The softening. And that's what effeminate means. It means to have the characteristics of a woman, to be soft. Okay? You're effeminate. Now, women should be feminine. A man should not be effeminate. Okay? We shouldn't be soft. We're made to be different. Women should be soft. And this all fits together. This is the blending of the genders, okay? This is confusion is what this is, and this is where Satan works. He works in the area of confusion, and this is what the problem is with masculinizing women. Well, the problem with that is the whole feminist movement, when women are equal to men, no, you're not, period. Okay, you're not equal to men.
Amen.
But when you start masculinizing women, what you do by default is you're going to effeminize everything else. Just look at the different standards they have in the military and the police academies. Just look at the different standards. If we're equal, you carry the same load. You run that mile in the same amount of time I have to. You do just as many push-ups as I have to. You do just as many pull-ups as I have to. You do carry the same weight load that I have to carry. I'm sorry, I do not want to be fighting side by side with a woman in war. Okay, the average man, I'm not talking about a strong man, I'm talking about an average man. Okay, and when you start looking at the military, you get in there, an 18 to 24 year old, whatever, and you start looking at them, they're probably going to be, the average is probably going to be like 140 pounds. Okay, that's not a big man. 140 pounds. The average man could carry a 200 pound man. The average man. The under average man could even do it. Now, can the average woman carry a 200-pound man? I'm talking about pick him up, put him on your back, and carry him out of harm's way because he's shot and he can't move. No, the average woman could never do that because you're not made to do that. You're not made for it. So when we start bringing women in and masculinizing them, by default, we're going to effeminize and soften men. And that whole thing has consequences that now if something... I don't know that we would, that men would stand up and fight for liberty because they're so soft. And I know it gets made fun of a lot, but it's true that they need their safe space. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Amen. What they needed is a father to whoop them and say, quit crying. That is what they needed. The period. Amen. And this whole thing that it's okay for boys to cry. No one's ever said it's not. But sometimes you need to stop crying and suck it up because life happens and you got to carry the weight of your family on your shoulders. So quit your crying and do what you have to do. And that's what needs to happen. And me just saying something like that, people will think, how mean?
That's because we've been effeminized. If you think that's mean, what I just said, it's because you've been effeminized. Now, ladies should maybe think that's kind of harsh because you're supposed to be soft. But not a man in here should think that that's harsh. We shouldn't do that. No. I mean, sometimes you need to make things hard for your boys. I'm telling you, make it hard for them. Don't make it easy. Don't check on them. Let them cry. Suck it up. Quit your whining. Deal with it. Stay out there and let the other boys make fun of you. That's what happens on the playground. It's good for you because it toughens you up. You're like, I'm not crazy. I got something in my eye. I mean, that's what ends up happening, and that's what boys do, and it's okay because it teaches you that, hey, I have to just keep going. I have to do this. And that's what we need. I mean, I remember when my son was little, like just walking, I'd sometimes kick him over. Poof. I just knock him down. And then he'd be crawling, trying to get up. And I just keep pushing him. As soon as he'd get up, I just bump him on his little behind so he'd fall down again. And I'm like, what are you doing? And people, that's me. No, I'm playing with him. But it's also teaching him, work for it. Nothing in life's easy. Work for it. I mean, I'd wrestle with him all the time. And I'd get his little arm and I'd twist his little arm. And I'd look at his face right till he's about to cry. And then I'd let go. Why? Just toughen him up. And some people, that's so mean. Are we raising women or are we raising men? See, that's what we need. See, and me saying stuff like this, and people probably already are thinking, that's mean. That's no way would I do that with my little boy. And you've been effeminized. Now, most moms are like, no, good, you should think that way. But you better let your husband. You better let your husband, unless you want to raise a sissy. Amen. If you want a sissy, then go for it. I didn't want a sissy. And we've got enough of that. They need safe spaces because their feelings got hurt. Look, everyone's feelings get hurt. I think it's good for kids to play in sports. You learn to lose. I mean, you learn life doesn't always go how you want it. That's a good thing to learn that at a young age. When parents give their kids everything and there's never any consequences, never anything harsh for them, never any setbacks, that's not good for any of us. Because you grow up and go into the real world, bad things are going to happen. You know, you're not going to get the promotion. You might get fired. I mean, whatever. You might not get the job even. I mean, that stuff is going to happen. There's someone better than you. There's always someone better than somebody. Always. It doesn't matter. There's always going to be someone better than somebody else at something. And to me, sports is something that teaches you that. Okay, we're not in a society, at least for us, where we're growing up on a farm having to work hard every day. We're just not. That's not the type of society we're in. And because of that, that softened all of us. I mean, it just softened us. We're not as tough as men were, you know, 50 years ago. We're not, those men aren't as tough as men were 50 years before them. I mean, it's just not. We're getting softer. So we have to, like, keep an eye on that and watch that. Because if not, then we end up with this effeminate generation that we have. And what I'm hoping is a fad is just with everyone becoming a sodomite. I really am hoping it's a fad. I know it's always been here, but I mean the craze that it has right now and the popularity that it has right now, I'm really hoping it's just a fad because there's so many kids in school that, I mean, 8 years ago I knew, you know, kids in middle school that were saying, well, I'm gay, I'm a lesbian. I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't know nothing. You know nothing. You're just hearing all this nonsense. And this is what the world's teaching. And this is why I say Satan is the god of this world. And he's the one putting all this stuff out there. And it's in the thinking. It's in the music. It's in Hollywood. It's in all of that. Why? To indoctrinate, to teach, to normalize it. And this is what they've done. They've normalized these things that are confusion. And it's all been for the destruction of liberty with an ulterior motive, which is all pushing towards the end time. And I'm not here trying to say we're going to ever stop what the Bible says is going to happen. But if it doesn't have to be in my lifetime, I'd sure be happy with that. You know, I would never want to be the generation that let it happen. I don't want to be like the weak link in the chain. I personally don't want to be that. So this is why I'm asking us to just pray for our nation and understand that our thinking has to be completely different than what is the norm for our society. We have to renew our minds. And I'm not advocating abusing our children, okay? Can I say that before somebody thinks that that's what I'm saying? I'm not advocating that, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to raise tough boys, okay? Help strengthen them. We all understand we all have weaknesses. You know, help your kids with their weaknesses. Strengthen them, challenge them. That's the only way you grow and get stronger, is by exercising the weaknesses. There's no easy way around it. That's the only way it's going to happen for any of us. If we want to grow spiritually, if we're spiritually weak, then we have to exercise that weakness. We have to exercise spiritually. We have to spend time in the Word of God so we can be knowledgeable in it, so we are stronger spiritually, but we have to exercise ourselves rather unto godliness, is what the Bible says. And that's what we need to do. It's the same with this. The principles throughout God's Word are the same. They apply to anything. So we have to exercise ourselves to those things. So, all right, we'll go ahead and stop right there.